for the benefit of those with flash photography.
Yeah, let's do it. Welcome to Dreamwork, the only podcast that me and Cheech use to keep ourselves fresh about tag team wrestling during the pandemic. That's right, I'm Colin Delaney. In a moment, I will be joined by my tag team partner, Cheech. We are the independent wrestling tag team known as To Infinity and Beyond. Got myself twisted up there for a second. Anywho, you know the deal. This is Dreamwork, where we talk about tag teams. And like I just said, me and Cheech started this podcast at the beginning of the pandemic and the shutdown and all of that. And as a good way to, you know, keep fresh, keep thinking about tag team wrestling and talking about something that we're passionate about. And as we get closer to being able to be back in the ring, I'm excited to use all of the things I've picked up and learned in these past 20 episodes. Now 21. This is 21. We are allowed to drink. The podcast's allowed to drink now, guys. Buy it a beer. Just because wrestling is coming back does not mean the podcast will stop. There are still hundreds of incredible tag teams that we would like to cover. So have no fear. We ain't going nowhere. Anywho, this week, we talk about MNM. That's Mercury, that's Nitro, and that's Melina. And as we get talking, we kind of realize that Melina is like super integral in the fabric of who this team was. I mean, there's a lot of teams that you associate the manager with them instantly, but I don't know if any is more important than Melina was to MNM. But I didn't really do a whole lot of Melina research before we started the episode, so figured I would shoot in some Melina facts now. All right, Melina. She was on Tough Enough 3 with John Morrison. That is where they met. She was cut, I think it said in the first episode or before they made it to the camp. Either way, she is a 3-time WWE Women's Champion, a 2-time WWE Divas Champion, and in 2009, she was number 3 on the PWI Top 50 Women Wrestlers in the world. So there you go. There's a couple facts about Melina, but let's get into the team. This week, it is Mercury, it is Nitro, it is Melina, it is MNM. You caught me drinking.
Oh boy. Well, that's not uncommon.
I was trying to sneak one last sip in before the you popped in here, but I missed it. So yeah, let's do it. Let's act like that never happened. What's up?
Not much, man. Not much. End of summer. Watching some tag matches. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely leaving that me drinking intro in there. I think that's good radio right there.
Oh yeah, yeah. A good gulp intro is a good
that's high quality. Do we call this, because it's high quality audio? I don't know. I'm so old. I call anything audio radio.
Eh, it works either way.
On the talking pictures that I was watching this week from the year 2006.
It was a good year.
Was it a good year? It's a weird year.
Yeah, okay. It's definitely weird. I enjoyed the weirdness. So, yeah, that might just be more of an indictment on me.
Maybe, yeah. So, once again, this week we are talking about Mercury, Nitro, and Melina, MNM.
Yes, yes, yes. And I would like to give a shout-out. This one was my idea because I was listening to a Pritchard podcast, and I don't know why, in all of our talks, I don't think we've ever brought up MNM. But once I heard it, it hit me like right between the eyes. I was like, oh my God, that's our team this week. Why have I never thought of them?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you why you've never thought of it. We'll start getting into it, and it'll it'll hit you pretty quick why we never they've never come up so far.
Okay. But yeah, that's our team this week. I think they were doing Great American Bash 05 or something they were talking about. And I remember, just hearing the name Eminem, and I was like, oh my God, what a good team. Why did I not think of them?
So, you're already kind of on the trail. So preliminary thoughts going into a week of Eminem?
It just caught me off guard. It was just one of those things where I was like, oh yeah, I totally remember them. I enjoyed the heck out of them. So I was like, the fact that it came out of nowhere made it more enjoyable. You know what I mean? There was no ramp up or heavy expectations per se.
Yeah. I think I'm kind of the same. When you mentioned them, I was like, oh yeah, Eminem, I was always a big York and Matthews guy, always a Joey Matthews fan. And John Morrison, I worked with a good handful of times in tag team action when I was in WWE. So I was like, oh yeah, this will be cool. I remember them being good. I remember them being fun to watch.
Yeah. I just remember them being let's get into it. Right. Basically, as I could tell, their beginning was mostly there was a new kid and a young vet, and they had this cool idea that at the time, I feel that was their biggest thing was I liked that they seemed very of the times. You know what I mean? They came out of nowhere and were just instantly, in the zeitgeist almost.
Yeah. And I think, you nailed it on the head with young vet and young up and comer. But I think the shtick is honestly really what shines about the team.
Yeah, and it just, it just came out of nowhere. It was just a breath of fresh air, especially in 06, Like you said, it was a weird time, but that was definitely of the times.
Yeah, so let's run down the Eminem accomplishments real fast. They are one-time OVW Southern Tag Champs.
Okay.
Because the team did start in OVW for a little while before they got up to the main roster.
Exactly.
They are 3-time WWE Tag Team Champions.
Okay, yeah. I remember as I was watching, they had already had 2, and I think they were talking about a third, and I think, yeah, so they accomplished the third.
And they are the 2005 PWI Tag Team of the Year.
See, look at that. They were a tag
also,
team of the year. Wow.
During their time, Johnny Nitro was Intercontinental Champion. He snuck that one in there.
Well, yeah, he definitely had, things going on and would eventually even have more things going on. And even till today, still has things going on.
Yeah, I usually if they held a singles title during their tag run, I'll throw it in there. But I'm not going to list all of John Morrison's accomplishments because that would take a while.
Oh, no, true. But yeah, the fact that he got one in there while still teaming, that's a little weird.
Early for John Morrison.
Exactly. Like I said, that's once again, when I try and think of these teams and early thoughts, I always try and think of their inception. And in my head, I was like, oh, weren't they just both in OVW and had this genius idea? And they were like, oh, we've got Melina, who's hot. She works. Let's make a whole, It was it was a package deal right off the rip.
Yeah. Yeah, and as we are about to get into the matches we watched, I will state that when I go down my list of teams they worked, I can tell you right now that's exactly why they haven't come up yet.
Okay, I was going to say that. Oddly, though, I will say this. Their teams that they faced, while not diverse, was ever so slightly more diverse than I thought.
They didn't outside of the end where they were working with London and Kendrick a lot and the Hardys early, they did not wrestle a lot of tag teams.
No, I know. That's the problem. I'm guessing. Let's get into it. And I think that'll prove, I guess, like you said, it was their opponents maybe hurt them a little bit more in their longevity in our minds.
Right. Or at least that's why they haven't come up in conversation or in our minds yet, because we haven't crossed them.
Yeah, so here, let me see what I got. All right, I had a them versus a Scotty Too Hotty and a Shannon Moore, a Hardys, a Kane and Big Show, a Doring and Roadkill, which was a fun curveball, a London and Kendrick, a Haas and Harley, a Ray and Eddie, then a Batista and Ray, then a Hardy, a Matt Hardy, and a Tatanka, a Ray and an Eddie, a Mexicools, a Haas and Holly, an Animal and Heidenreich. I knew there were more. I was like, all right, I'll just give myself one Animal and Heidenreich, I think. Batista Eddie, a Ray Batista, a Batista Ray, another London Kendrick, and then I ended it with the Hardys at the December to Dismember one.
Okay, okay. So yeah, I started at the beginning. By the way, has the team ever had such a gigantic TV debut?
Yeah, I know. They won the things right off the rip. I didn't get to it till like the middle of my watchings. I hit their debut, so I had already been like, okay, it's cool. But I had known that they won, and yeah. But once again, like I said, they were a package deal. Like, there was nothing more 2005 and 6 than these guys. You know what I mean? It was just one of those things where, like, I remember even me just watching as soon as they came out, and I was just like, oh my God, they're like the OC or whatever was the hip paparazzi-filled reality TV show. You know what I mean? That's exactly what I thought.
They were Laguna Beach.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. They were Laguna Beach.
Their debut match on WWE television is defeating Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio at MSG for the tag titles.
Yep, yeah, yeah. That was the cool part. I was like, okay, they want to go. Oh, snap, it was an MSG, too. That makes it even cooler.
Wild. So I watched the Scotty Too Hotty Shannon Moore. I watched them against Booker T and Benoit. I watched Batista and Eddie. I watched Batista and Ray. I watched Charlie Haas and Hardcore Holly. I watched Mexicools. I watched them against John Taylor and John Moxley. I watched them against Lennon and Kendrick. I watched them against Lennon and Kendrick. I watched them against the Hardys. I watched them against the Hardys. I watched them against Lennon and Kendrick. So, yeah, when you go down the list, up until the end, when they were working with Lennon and Kendrick, who we have not covered yet, but we will eventually, and the Hardys, once again, same deal. There's not a single team on there that we are probably going to cover on this podcast.
Wait, we're never going to do an Animal and Heidenreich team?
Dude, I didn't even try. I was like, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
As I was going through, I was like, oh, yeah, they did have not just one match. They had a feud with them. And I think, like, switched the belts once or twice with them, too. Like, yeah, like, but I was like, all right, I'll give myself one. And I watched one, and it wasn't bad. And I will say this, I probably won't watch more. But I'd be curious because in that match, Mercury especially is just flying all over the place for them. Like, he's trying to make Heidenreich look like $1 million by, like, all right, Heidenreich, you stay in the middle. I'm just going to bounce off you. But, like, he did it at, like, an extra speed. Like, I was like, wow, he's really working extra hard to make these. Because, you know what I mean? All their gimmick was they were just big power guys. So, you know what I mean? But I'd be curious to see how the other ones went because he was working so hard. And that was refreshing, at least. At least I could enjoy that in the match.
Yeah, I can't remember what team we just recently did. Oh, was it literally last week with the Impact players? There's just no teams for them to wrestle. So that's why, like, they kind of stand out.
Yeah. But even then, yeah. I'm surprised that in watching the matches, their work wasn't as – it was good, but it doesn't seem like they ever put it all together, the team of Eminem, as far as, like, work rate style. Like, they were good in individual pieces, and they had matches where it all came together, but I never felt like it super-duper clicked. But then again, Nitro was so young.
No, I 100% agree. I think, as we've said before, they are a team that probably was hitting, like, about to hit a stride and about to start really getting it when, you know, I think Mercury got hit with a wellness violation and got suspended, and then they half broke the team up and then kind of got the team back together, but it was never really the same. They had already strapped that rocket ship to Nitro's back, so Mercury was kind of an afterthought and then got fired. But I do think that, like, their stuff, their later stuff, you can definitely see they've kind of figured it out, but still not completely.
Yeah, which was fun in digging into this, definitely seeing Nitro get better, because, like, especially, like, even the act as itself on its debut was a little rough compared to, obviously, it would get better. But I mean, I watched some of those early matches at Nitro is rough around the edges. But by the time I'm watching at the end, I was like, oh, he's definitely putting it together. So, yeah, I do feel like they probably had better stuff ahead of him. But I guess you could kind of see that for any team because they're only getting better. I don't know. No, some teams definitely do have a decline.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think, once again, the fact that they didn't have really cohesive teams to work with in the beginning, like right off the bat, Eddie and Ray, sure, they worked well together, but they're not an established solid tag team. Scotty Twitty and Shannon Moore, Booker T and Benoit, once again, probably they're both incredible talented wrestlers who can tag team wrestle their asses off. They're not a tag team. Charlie Haas and Hardcore Holly, you know, Batista and Ray, like they're not wrestling teams who can help them. Like they're wrestling teams. The guys who they wrestled early kind of set them up for the rest. You know, that's why they look at times like two really good singles wrestlers, because that's what they were wrestling forever.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. That's the problem with those teams. But what I did notice, and obviously, of course, it helped. Like, well, I guess not for Mercury, but like check. All right, we can go TV time. I don't think they faced any team that had less TV time than them. You know what I mean? Everyone they were facing were technically veterans of wrestling TV. Like, I'm sure Mercury had years on some of the other guys, but they definitely were more well known because they were WWF guys. You know what I mean?
Oh, dude, and I mean. Looking at the first half of my list here, I don't think there's anybody that even Mercury's got time on. You know what I'm saying?
I was going to say he might because he definitely had years in already. But yeah, I think – which obviously helped him. But once again, they were all veteran singles guys. And especially, yes. Like, I really liked – did you notice – I felt Eddie and Joey had a good rapport.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. It's weird because I was noticing Joey kind of a little quick on the get sometimes and early on things more than I noticed Nitro.
Well, true, because he was usually in there a lot more than Nitro.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's definitely true. But I can't remember. There was one with, I think it was the Benoit Booker T match. They like Mercury flubbed something and Benoit just almost seamlessly gets like, they stop and they go right back to it. And I was like, man, like, you know, untrained eye kind of stuff. You probably didn't even notice it because Benoit's so just cerebral with his approach. But man, I was like, woof, got him right back in there.
But yeah, I did. And I didn't see that one. I wish I would have, because I did enjoy watching the different amalgamations of seeing like Ray and Eddie, Ray Batista, Eddie, you know what I mean? And it would have been good to see him in there with them because it seemed like the workers kind of knew what, well, obviously they're not dumb. They knew what they had. They're like, okay, one guy's green and super athletic and one guy's the worker. All right, let me work with the worker. You know what I mean?
But I think I appreciated their stuff more once you get to like Mexicools, when they could just kind of like, seemed almost like they were having fun. It like, it clicked a lot better. There's a certain amount of nerves that goes into wrestling Booker T and Chris Benoit, I think.
Yeah, it's true. I liked it more when they got to, yeah, when it was like, I definitely enjoyed the ones I watched with the Mexicools, the ones with London and Kendrick, even though, yeah, they were like tag title matches, even with the Hardys too, but it just seemed a little bit looser. You know what I mean? It seemed like it was like, oh, we're two teams, we're going to throw our wares on the table and see how it turns out. As opposed to into those big matches, it was like, oh, we're main eventing versus Batista, and Batista's quite a bit of these things. And yeah, I could see it being a lot looser when you're with seemingly more contemporary people.
I noticed, and it's weird to say because they're not large themselves, but it seemed like they worked a lot, like significantly better with smaller opponents or opponents closer to their size.
Yeah, definitely, because they also fell into a little bit of the trope of, oh, we're bad guys, we're just gonna get ping ponged in the beginning. So it worked well against the big guys, but yeah, I felt like they probably had better confidence, better swagger when they were with smaller guys.
Yeah, because when they're with bigger guys, like their bread and butter is making other guys look great and taking those huge bumps and selling all over the ring. But when they were in there with big guys, like they almost didn't get anything. It was just like one of those, they'll just get beat up until a finish almost.
Yeah. The match with Kane and Big Show, where technically it was Raw as tag team champions versus SmackDowns, and I was like, boy, never had it been ever could you never is it more like slap you in the face, the difference between Raw and SmackDown. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And especially that match, because that match was basically a squash match.
It's like 3 minutes or something, right?
Yeah, and it's literally they just take moves the whole time, and then literally the only time they did anything was to facilitate either Kane or Big Show to tag out. That was it.
But that's like a knock on smaller guys, you know? Like, as a smaller guy, you still have to be able to look believable against bigger guys. And I don't feel like Eminem ever really got that one down.
Especially not in the game in the Big Show match, at least. Definitely not there. But I don't know. I mean, they were probably young. They were just doing what they could. But yeah, no, they were definitely better with the smaller guys, just because I felt like it was, hey, we're with younger guys. You know what I mean? I'm sure it's odd to be like, so Kane and Big Show, let's go out there and do some catch as catch can.
And man, like I said, I'll go back to it. That Mexicools pay-per-view match is awesome.
Well, because once again, the luchadors are offensive specialists. So them who love to be on the defensive and then just take offense, it was always great. Like, I love my notes were like, oh, wow, the Mexicool shined big. Can you believe it? Oh, Super Crazy did a dive. Oh my God, he had a really big hot tag. You don't say. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just expected. If you got luchadors in there, they're going to go off, which worked out perfect for Eminem because they loved, you know what I mean? They definitely went into the. It reminded me a little bit of the Hollywood Blondes trope of, oh, we're bad guys now, so suddenly we're just always on the defensive for the first third of the match.
Yeah, for sure. On the Mexico's match, the first thing I wrote was first big match, not against, quote, super vets.
And then here, let's get into this one. What are your thoughts on Melina? Great outside, but I definitely think had some drawbacks. What do you say?
Yeah, I guess I could agree with that. Towards the end, when she was really on the screaming bit, I was like, oh, this is tough.
Yeah.
It's tough to listen to. It's tough to just have, like, sometimes it literally drowns out commentary. It's bonkers.
The equation I drew in my head, I was like, okay, Mercury and Nitro are best at like the 10 minute mark, then 10 to 12 minute matches, I would say. Because some of the shorter ones I felt like just seemed a little too quick, and then some of the longer ones, I'll get into it. I don't necessarily like the WWE's longer match formula in this time, but I feel Melina is only good at a 6 minute match because her yelling isn't half as obnoxious. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like in the ring, 10 to 12. Outside the ring, anything over six, you're killing yourself. Because in the Hardys match, where it was the December to December one, they went like 20 plus. So she did the scream spot like two, three, four times to the point where even Taz finally turned on her on commentary. Like, I was paying attention because Taz would always put over like, oh, Melina, I love Melina. Oh, I wish she put me in a head scissors. Oh, Melina, Melina. Oh, I love the scream. Oh, Cole, don't interrupt her, blah, blah, blah. But like by the third one, he's like, all right, yeah, that might get a little bit grating. I was like, okay, even he turned on her. Because, yeah, you can't have her in those long matches. She was gold in what she did. You'll appreciate this. I said she pays rent for how much time she spends distracting the ref on the apron, much like Christian also gets mail at the announcer's table where he goes to get mail. Because she does it some matches two, three times. And the only reason I was okay with it, because the one match I was like, okay, this is just getting ridiculously long, it played into the finish. Like, she took so long, by the time he turned around, the ref caught Eminem cheating. So I was like, God damn it. I was just about to hate on it, but they were self-aware enough to be like, no, this is getting a little too crazy. We got to have it backfire.
Yeah, I mean, not for nothing, her timing was really good on everything. And I can't, like, was she a tough enough person? Is that where she came from also, or?
I'm not exactly aware, but the one thing I did make note of is like, she's a wrestler. Like, she could take bumps. You know what I mean? Like, we only
Right.
predominantly saw her as the manager, but a couple times she took bumps on the outside. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. You kind of forget, especially at this point. Like, eventually she did become an in-ring competitor somewhat, like, full time. But early in this run, she barely did anything. So I feel like it was great the few times she would get knocked down because it was like, oh my God, because you didn't know at that time. But I was like, oh wait, no, she's a wrestler. She's fine.
No, her timing was always good. She was always right where she needed to be. I think on the Wikipedia for Eminem, they were just like, and Nitro was dating Melina at the time, so they just put her in the act or something like that. It was like real glossed over, like they just happened to be dating and they were just like, yeah, just throw her in.
But that's the thing, like, I don't want to downplay her as just like another pretty face. You know what I mean? She was a wrestler, hence that's why I think she had good timing as a manager.
No, yeah, every time she needed to be doing something, she was good at it. She was exactly where she needed to be. I do think, and we talked about it probably with the Hollywood Blondes. The Hollywood Blondes use that distract all the time, but it worked. But I don't know, Mercury and Nitro, I don't feel like used it as well, maybe. I don't know. I was getting tired of it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, it was well, but I know what you mean. It was missing something.
Yeah, I just don't think, like, it seemed to fit the match style and structure that the Hollywood Blondes were putting on more than it fit the 2006-2005 WWE style, I guess.
Which, okay, yeah, let's get into that style then, because I was enjoying all their matches, and then I found myself not enjoying the ones that went close to or over 20 minutes. And I don't think it was necessarily because they're bad. I just feel like the way those matches were done in 2005 and 6 in the WWE was a little weird. I feel like, okay, like, for example, one rule I know, and I don't know if it's a hard and fast rule, but like, you know how they say there's like the one breakup rule that they kind of loosely have on TV now?
Yes.
They definitely did not have it back in 05 and 06.
No.
Because there was one match, I think London broke up like three, and I was just like, holy crap, which I'm not against because, you know, we still do that, you know, when we wrestle on the indies, sometimes that happens, you know what I mean? It's not unheard of. So it almost was refreshing, but I don't know. I feel like, and this might be an indictment, I liked, and I don't know, I guess you can't, I really liked it when the Midnight Express had 20-minute matches compared to when Mercury and Nitro, but how could you compare? But I don't know. Something I felt like was a strong suit of certain heel tag teams was not necessarily theirs. And I just felt like it was just WWF formula, but it was like, oh, it's a longer match, so we'll just put on, we'll do two chin lock spots instead of one.
Yes. No, I was just going to say, it's because they're, it seemed like they were, okay, this match, we have 20 minutes. So how we do a 20-minute match is there's two heats. And then the first one will start like this. And then they'll get a small comeback and then they'll get stopped again. You know, it was like very by the numbers. You knew you were going to say, like, if I saw the timer on the thing and it said this match was like 18 minutes, I knew what I was getting into by clicking on it.
Yeah. I don't know why, especially it really struck me hard on the Hardys match, the December to Dismember or whatever. Honestly, I remembered it the wrong way. At first, what I have it as, oh, I thought it was the Dismember to Remember. I was like, man, that's weird because that's so close to November to Remember. And then I looked, I was like, oh, no, I'm just reading it wrong. And because nobody remembers those pay-per-views because this wasn't the horrible one, I don't think, though. I thought it was going to be. I was looking at it and I was like, oh, is this the bad pay-per-view? And I was like, well, I wouldn't know because I'm just watching one match and the match was good. But it was long and it just felt like the Hardys were playing like elder statesmen. They're like, oh, we're veterans now, so we're going to go 25 minutes, so we're going to have a nice chain wrestling open a couple and then we're gonna do this, and I was just like, I don't know, it just felt formulaic and just extended. It was like, oh, we're just gonna take a normal match and just stretch all the boring parts a little bit longer. But I didn't feel like it was an indictment on Eminem. It just felt like that was the culture.
But also by that point, I believe the Hardys were also not really a team. They were, one was on Raw, one was on, yes, SmackDown, and Eminem had actually broken up or some kind of broken up, and one was on Raw and one was on SmackDown, but they were having a weird feud.
Okay, because yeah, it just seemed weird. It just seemed like it was one of those matches where they were like, because yeah, they were talking up about how the Hardys may not team after this, they're gonna go their singles routes, which they were kind of already doing, but it just seemed like they were like, all right, we're gonna give these two classic teams one last go, we're gonna give them 20 minutes and blah blah blah. And I was just like, oh, it didn't quite get there. Unlike, okay, which was the one? There was a match with Ray and someone. I don't know if it was Eddie or Batista, where they put a super long heat on him. But Ray, being Ray, knew, like, all right, if you're going to put 10 minutes of heat on me, I can't just come back with, like, an enziguri. He did some big, huge spot to then lead to the hot tag to, I think it was Batista. But I was like, okay.
Oh, it's the,
like,
Batista one.
Okay, yeah, it felt – like, everything in that match felt like, okay, everything felt appropriate for, like, I think it was 18 minutes. Whereas, like, in the Hardys match went, like, 20-plus, everything, like, it just felt the proportions were a little off. Whereas the Ray one felt great. And then Batista got in there, and he did great. He usually did what he did. But, like, I don't know, I found him a little bit rough around the edges. How about you?
Batista, I don't know, man. I think – back in, like, this era, like the 05, 06, I was not that into Batista at all. And I thought that he was, you know, just whatever. But watching him even in these tags, I was like, oh, man, Batista ruled, kind of.
Yeah, I agree. He definitely had, like, at this point, this was the point where he got his swagger. This is where he was, like, probably at his biggest, at his most confidence as a good guy. But I feel like everybody puts him in, like, this huge status because his heel role was so great. But I was like, yeah, but, like, in between the ropes, sometimes his wrestling was a little rough. But, like, he'll get put in, like, legendary status because of all the accolades and stuff. But even in these matches, I mean, he held up his end. You know what I mean? He was just the hammer, and they were the nails. But, you know what I mean? He definitely held up his end in all these matches, but I was just like, phew, it looked like it would be rough to work Batista.
One of my favorite Batista spots was when Eddie Guerrero had him come back in the ring just to flex his pecs and
okay.
go back on the apron. Yeah,
okay. That match, awesome. In L.A., as fuck, he, like, literally swagger just dripping off of him. He's literally orchestrating the entire match just by, like, his body language and the crowd and everything. And then the match after I watch is Rey and Batista. It's a month later. Eddie's dead. I was like, holy shit, bro. Like, flying that close
yeah.
to the sun, being that over, that in control of a crowd in LA in front of his people. Like, and that was in the last month of his life. That's just crazy to me.
I kind of forgot, but then when I was looking over their match listing, I saw there was a Batista and Eddie Guerrero tag match, and then a couple down, there was a Rey and Batista tag, and I was like, oh, no, that means, oh, no.
Yeah, that happened to me. I was just like, wait a minute, and I was like, whoa. You know what I mean? Like, it just hit me in the – because, like, I know his last – that was the thing. I remember his last run was doing stuff with Batista, but I think his last match was his first, like, MVP on a SmackDown or something. But you forget
his last match was his last match was against Kennedy on a SmackDown.
Okay, Kennedy. But you know what I mean? To think, okay, you're like, oh man, whatever. That just seems like a random match. But then you think, okay, maybe a week or two before he was having this match, and that's just crazy. Because literally, like, it was weird because he had, like, the he was overly frosted, like he was almost blonde mop top, and, like, I don't know. It's just, like, anything he did, and they point out, it was L.A., of course. He's a Mexican-American in L.A. The people loved him. It was so close to Mexico. Like, he was just super over. It was just amazing to watch him, because, once again, on the opposite side of the ring, you have, yeah, a young vet, and then just a young worker, period. And he's in there just being, you know what I mean, just, it almost reminded me how, like, Dusty Rhodes every now and then would have that super, that extra level of swagger. And then, yeah, he's just body language, just controlling the crowd and his opponents. It was great.
So I think we kind of touched on it earlier, but I think that we never got Eminem to their full potential. I also think that when you look at the later bodies of work of like a current John Morrison and, you know, some later Mercury, you could tell that, man, like, we were talking about how they didn't really get to work with tag teams, but they did get to work with Eddie Guerrero. They did get to work with Chris Benoit. They did get to work with Booker T. They did get to work with Rey Mysterio, you know? So, like, just those experiences, and you could tell those were, like, learning experiences. It wasn't as bad as when we were watching, like, Jindrak and O'Hare learning on the job, but you could tell they were learning on the job in those early ones.
Oh, yeah. Like, I definitely – one of the things I really liked was watching – it almost seemed – not that they were hiding Nitro, it was just like, don't worry, like, let Mercury handle like the big stuff. You come in, you're more like the fireworks and the flash. I like seeing as the matches progressed, eventually, you know, he was the guy in there, like, no, 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 I'm gonna take all of Heidenreich's moves, or I'm gonna take like there was one he was working, the Heidenreich and Animal one. I think Mercury's job was putting over Heidenreich, and then Nitro's was putting over Animal, and it just, it was great seeing him go from almost like shying away from going in there and mixing it up to, oh no, no, now he's in there mixing it up just like he's one of the others. That was really fun seeing him get better and better. Cause I mean, we all watched Tough Enough. We all thought he was the coolest guy. He did a shooting star press standing like Red did, but he was so tall and jacked and acted weird and goofy. So we were all rooting for him.
It is almost crazy though, that in the tag team of Eminem, I didn't see him do almost anything crazy.
Yeah, it's weird. He could do it. It's funny. I felt, I was watching and I was thinking this. I was like, oh man, he kind of had to wait for parkour to get over for him to go like, okay, now I get to do all my crazy stuff. Because I feel like at 05, 06, like that wasn't his gimmick, because I don't know if it was like, I'm sure it was a thing, but it wasn't like a part of, you know, the cultural mindset of people knew what parkour was. But once that became a thing, he's like, oh, watch, now I get an excuse to do all these flips and twists and barrel rolls.
Yeah, the neatest thing he had was his little breakdance leg drop, I think.
Yeah, he did that. I saw him miss the standing shooting star press. But other than that, I'm trying to think. Yeah, no, there were no Starship Pains. Oh, he did hit a crazy like crossbody taker dive that was crazy, but that was just him being freakishly athletic.
Yeah, but I don't remember seeing him come off the top almost at all. I don't remember seeing him dive pretty much at all. I don't remember seeing him springboard. You know what I'm saying? Like, and if he did very, very little, which is a little crazy. I mean, he was young, but I think that's what that was his thing. If I'm them, if I'm him, I want to like uncork the thing that you got.
But okay, I felt like his athleticism manifested itself in, you're going to give me a monkey flip, I'm going to do a 450. You're going to give me a Beal, I'm going to go extra far. Yeah, you know I mean, it was in a very Dolph Ziggler-esque way of like, I'm going to show you how athletic I am by getting my butt kicked really cool.
Yeah, and that's true. I do think, and I said it off the top, without the gimmick, I'm not sure that team has all that success.
Oh, no, no, no. Yeah, that's the thing. It was the optics. It was like, you just looked at him and go, yep, it all makes sense. Like, you didn't even have to see them wrestle. You just had to see them roll out the red carpet. They walk out, and they had all the paparazzi. You're like, oh, that's amazing. You're like, the wrestling was almost secondary to that. But the best part was, they were actually pretty decent at the wrestling, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, they were. But
I could also see, okay. I agree with you that yes, the gimmick made them, but I feel like you put that gimmick on two other people, it doesn't necessarily work.
Well, okay, so it's not just the gimmick, but it's the gimmick, the fact that they looked very much the same. They could pull off the role. They had the look to pull off the gimmick, and the whole thing worked together. But when you really look at them, like at their just body of work in the ring, I'm not sure that's a team that gets like super pushed without that gimmick attached to them.
Yes, nope, I agree. If you take it off, they're American males, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they couldn't be London and Kendrick, who are just like two guys who like, they don't really have like a character, they've got like a look, but they couldn't have just been that.
They could have, but yeah, I agree. I don't think it would have worked nearly as well.
No, no, I can't imagine a world where it would have, and it's a shame that it hit its end when it did. And I think from what I was reading, yeah, there was like a Mercury wellness policy, and then they just even though it was like a small whatever thing, they just started, you know, back in Nitro and making him a thing, and even when he tried to get it back together, it just wasn't. They were already focused on Johnny Nitro.
Well, that's the thing. WWE or F, whatever you want to call them, even back to when they were WWF, always had a thing of eventually they were going to pick one and run with them. That's just the way they always did it. what was it? Isn't what I don't know if it was a WWF adage, but if it was like, oh no, I think it might have been. Oh, if you're a team, you're booking two guys, double the expense, double this. Like, if you make one of them a superstar, blah 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 blah. So yeah, they definitely saw, and especially you could understand. Mercury was the older one of the group, and if he's having all these problems outside the ring, and the other one, like as far as I know, I don't think Morrison's had any problems other than maybe. Prescription scandals for something. I think he was on one of those, but you know what I mean? That's not bad as, you know, wellness policy violations like Mercury was getting. Do you know what I mean? I could totally see him being like, oh, yep. Let's put the younger one who seems to have his head screwed on a little bit better.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. It's crazy because I feel like John Morrison was supposed to be what Drew Galloway is right now.
Yes. Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was definitely a chosen one, you could say. Yes, definitely.
And he went away first, and he kind of went on and did literally just about everything. And then it was like, oh, Morrison's coming back. Now is the time when they really, you know, strap that rocket ship back on. And then he sneaks back into a thing with Miz, and it's like, wait a second, this is not where I thought this was going at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like, yeah, I don't know if they'll. I don't know if they'd ever slot him for the world title. Unfortunately,
I don't know. It felt like that. You know, he felt like one of those guys that just was always just underneath it. You know, like I don't know. Like his talent and his look are something you can't ignore. So he hovers just underneath that main event picture, but there's something missing for them that doesn't elevate. And I'm not saying he doesn't have it because he's been world champion all over the place, but for WWE at least, it feels like they don't think he has it.
Yeah, he okay. I was drawing the comparison in the matches too. Reminds me of Jeff Hardy, not just because they're athletic, but yeah, like same thing with WWF. It seemed like they almost struggled to put the world title on him when it was like, come on, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. Oh, I wanted to get this one in early, and I've forgotten until we're almost 40 minutes in. But if they called him John Morrison back then, the team would have just been,
Oh, stop yourself.
It popped into my mind real early in watching, and I couldn't stop giggling about it. I was like, man, imagine if they called Eminem,
But, okay, you also got to think, this was way before Morrison came into play. So this was back when, wasn't he Johnny Spades? There was Johnny Spades, Johnny Nitro. There was another Johnny that he went by. Like, he was throwing out a bunch of them.
Oh, I have no idea. All I know is that the name would have actually worked pretty good for that group.
Okay, I'm not getting on board with it. If you say the team name is I'm gonna think they're trying to sell me like Campbell's Soup or something, you know what I mean? Like not that they're definitely not paparazzi trying to get glam shots of team
Yes, they are more than they are the team MNM. They would be all about the team of
I guess.
Oh no, you're just being contrarian now. You know it's a good idea.
No, unless it was like good or almost weird and creepy, but I don't think they were going for creepy. I think they were going for, hey, look, we're young and beautiful. Take pictures of us. We have abs.
And, I was going to look this up. I meant to. I forgot. When London and Kendrick beat them for the titles, is that the year-long reign of London and Kendrick? Is that what starts the long London and Kendrick reign?
I'm not sure if it is. I do know from commentary it was their sixth win against Eminem. Like, that was the thing. It was like, they beat him five times, and now they finally get a title shot on pay-per-view. I was like, wait, this is WWE. If you get five wins, you've been champion for 6 months.
Yeah, and Eminem's last TV match was on a SmackDown in, like, a five-minute losing effort to London and Kendrick, which would be their seventh loss in a row.
Well, that's the thing. Like, okay, I dug it because I was like, oh, that's a long-term storyline. Okay, I like it. It makes sense. Which, okay, when they said that, I go, oh, they're definitely not winning this pay-per-view match. And then they won. So I was like, wow, that's good storytelling.
Yeah, there's some of those were velocity matches. I caught at least one of the velocity matches. Did you see they just put some velocity on the network?
No.
It begins.
Okay. Okay. Oh, wait. I wanted to throw this out when watching the network, because I watched their cage match versus, I think it was Rey and Batista. And I'm watching, yep. And all of a sudden, here comes Mark Henry. And I go, is this the cage with the botch? And as I'm watching, and I'll give them credit. They're pretty slick, but I caught the cut. And then I went and looked it up. I go, timeout. This was definitely it. This had to be it. And I went, I looked up online. Yep, they cleaned the hell out of it on the network. He does not struggle at all. He walks up, he grabs the cage once, grabs it twice. First time he grabs the chain, rips it right off. I was like, that is not how that happened. Yeah, that was definitely the match where he's had there for like, what was it, like 2-3 minutes, just pulling and pulling, and eventually broke it. But yeah, they cleaned the heck out of it. I'm watching, I'm going, and I even rewound it. I go, wait, I gotta see where the cut is. And I'm watching it. There it is. And I saw it.
Man, it's crazy to like, because that's they're literally changing history in their favor. I don't know how I feel about that.
Oh, of course. Trust me, that pisses me off all the time on the network, or the music issue. But that's why you still got to, you know, hold on to physical media and hope that YouTube never goes away. But yeah, I had to look it up because I immediately knew. I go, timeout. I go, that looked way too slick. I go, and I don't feel like there were multiple times where he tried to rip the door off to get at Batista. So I looked it up. I was like, Mark Henry, Kane. Door botch, and I was like, he was trying to get in after Batista, who was facing Eminem in the cage. I go, oh my god, that was it.
It's one thing if like they catch it before it hits air, you know. It's one thing if they edit it out before it ever made television, but this thing made television. People remember this. Like, that's, it's irritating that they would cut that out.
No, I know, but they wanted to make it look good. I can't be mad at them. But yeah, I was definitely watching it and caught that. I was like, oh no, I need to call that out. So yeah, people, if you were to go back and listen to our recommendations, it's a heck of a match. It's mostly Rey Mysterio doing all the work, but it's an enjoyable match. But yeah, Mark Henry does not pull that door off on the first try. Not at all.
If WWE Network is about to head into the vault and start editing botches, Mongo McMichael matches are screwed till the end of time.
Oh, I'm sure they're very probably real biased. I'm probably they don't touch anything but their own stuff, I bet.
Real clean and polished. Man, that's poof. All right. So, anyways, all right. MNM, Cheech. How? Why do I forget how I do this?
How
we defeat them, and then what made them great?
No, it's what makes them great. And then how we beat them. And what makes them great is this. They're of the time. Like I said earlier, like they're the most 2005, 2006 thing on that show by a country mile. And then the other thing I realized when I sat to think about it too, is they really cover each other's blind spots. You know what I mean? Like they like Nitro, obviously athletic as hell. Joey Mercury, not so much. Joey, hell of a wrestler. Nitro, not so much. You know what I mean? Like, and then here's the thing. How did I break it down? Nitro brings the flash. Mercury brings the workerness. And then Melina, super important. She brings the heat. You know what I mean? Because if you take her out of the equation, I don't think they get as much booze as they would. You know what I mean? Her and that stupid, annoying yell and being with those guys, it was the package. You know what I mean? The overall package was perfect.
Yes, definitely. We probably did not speak enough about Melina, but she was like pretty much the glue on that thing. She was the pin, you know. You pull that pin and I think it all falls apart. I don't know if I ever saw them come out without her. Like, you know, sometimes the team will go out without the manager, or the person will go out without the manager, but I don't think I ever saw Eminem without her.
No. She was an integral piece of that equation.
Yeah, but I would agree with you. I think the package is definitely what made them great. The look, the gimmick, the even the makeup of the team with the younger vet and the rising star, and also the fact that they in the bump and feed and sell department, they were very much the same. They were both a bit over the top and a little flip flop and fly. And it kind of, especially early on, helped them stick out a bit more.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. No, I know. But slightly different. Like we said, Nitro's a little bit more bombastic with his athleticism. And Joey was too. But yeah, he was a little more, as you can see, and I enjoyed the few times where he almost seemed a little Southern Memphis-y.
There are times where I see John Morrison take bumps or take like powders to the floor, and I'm like, how did his body even do that? It doesn't even look like it should be a thing that a body can do. Like, someone pitched him out. It might have even been in that first match. Oh, no, I think it was the Batista-Eddie one. Batista chucks him out of the ring, and he, like, even though it's a shit can, he goes, like, feet first and then does, like, a twirl in the air. I was like, how did he even manage that?
No, I know. And here's the thing. The only reason I accept it is because I've always seen him do it. If I had not been preconditioned to him doing it, I too would have been like, what the heck? But every time it happened, I'd go, yeah, that's just John Morrison. That's or Johnny Knight. That's just Johnny Knight.
Yeah. Wild. So that I think it was definitely what stood out about them from just an eye test while watching them wrestle.
And, you know, I just found it refreshing. You know what I mean? We've covered so many teams and it's always like, oh, they're great because of their work. They're great because of their work. This team, yes, too. But it's just refreshing to be like, oh, no. Like, it's funny. You'd almost think when you think like gimmick teams, you're thinking like the Nasty Boys and things like that. And you're like, you wouldn't think M&M, but like they totally are.
No, absolutely. I think a lot of people, and me included, going into this, I thought we were going to get some like crazy, like cool, I don't know, innovative tag stuff that I've forgotten about, or like some like crazy close to 5-star matches that are just like bananas where they're doing all this crazy stuff. It is none of that.
Here's the thing. I do think if they wanted to go that way, they could. You know what I mean? But I feel like, no, they were always grounded in their gimmick, that they were bad guys. They were slimy sleazeballs who thought they were, you know, the cock of the walk.
Yeah. I think other people have the same thought, though, that because it's John Morrison and Joey Mercury, that there was probably a lot more to the team than there actually was.
Yeah, I was expecting almost a little bit, almost more of a mirror of London and Kendrick, but it really wasn't.
No, not at all. I think I was expecting a little bit of the same. All right, now, M&M, how would we defeat them? Cheech.
Okay, it comes down to Melita. A, I think we wear earmuffs, and B, homegirl could take bumps. We need to take her out. We take her out, I think everything gets a little more balanced. Her out there, like we said, she's a huge part of that equation. If we could take her out, I think things become a little bit easier, and we just have to avoid the snapshot.
Yeah, I think this comes up a lot of times when there's managers involved, to get rid of the manager. Yeah. Do we got to get ourselves like a manager?
I don't know. Or an animal. We need like a Frankie or a Matilda.
That distraction on these teams, it really comes down to being like a really serious part of the act when you go back and watch it and break it down. But no, I agree. We have to get rid of Melina. And I think, because we got to hop in the time machine for this one and go back to 05. I think we wipe out Mercury and let Nitro kind of fall on his own face. You know what I'm saying? Because we're not going to wear out Nitro. We're not going to beat down Nitro. He's young and made of rubber. We can potentially beat up and beat down on the oft-injured, slightly older Joey Mercury.
But I don't know. See, I think that's where his strength lies, though. I think we need to take advantage of the younger guy. I think if we're going back, you know what I mean? If we're getting Johnny Nitro we're talking about, he's the man we can take advantage of.
I think his bones are made of rubber, though.
Still, but he's young and susceptible. I think we're older and cunning. He's naive. He'd fall for things more. And I think if I watch, in most losses, it was him because he's younger. He's more susceptible. His mind isn't as sharp. Now, Joey, on the other hand, that brain is sharp as hell when it comes to wrestling. You know what I mean? So, yeah, we take him out, and I say our best chances lie with trying to beat up the younger one. I understand the physical nature of going after the younger one, but I think it's 2-on-1.
I just think we get the smarter one out of the equation and we let the younger, naive one make their own mistake and we capitalize on that mistake.
Well, yeah, he's young. He can't. He's not going to outwit us. You know what I mean?
Right, but Joey might, so we got to get rid of him, man. Then,
oh no, I agree.
After we get Take rid him of out. Him, yeah.
Yeah, let Nitro try and prove his worth.
Yes, and then inevitably he'll do something crazy because we know he's got it in the tank, but he's not going to do it properly because he's young and naive, and then we put him on his dome piece.
Yeah. When he goes to fly, we just slide to the right.
Yeah, or hot roll up.
That works too.
All right, there it is. MNM, or as some people call them.
Yeah, they're not nearly as cool as the M&M people. I'll say it.
All right. Well, that's it. Instead of hearing me and Cheech banter about what team we're going to do next week, because you all know, we have no idea. We'll figure it out at some point. I am just going to do the right thing this time and sign off. So until next week, you guys.
Adios.